Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson, and this is episode 246. And our guest today is Ashley from Anchorage in Alaska, with a dream that we've just spent 50 minutes exploring, going deep, finding out what it relates to in her life, and getting lots of juicy insights from. And I know you're going to really enjoy it. And I'm here just putting the beginning of the show on, because we've just finished recording. So for those of you that are new to the show, just a note that when we have a guest on the show, which is 90% of our shows, we ask the guest, we arrange everything, but I ask the guest not to tell me their dream until the moment we start recording, so that you get the experience of hearing the dream told and of hearing me hear the dream for the first time and how the conversation evolves from there, because I'm told that that's what you really enjoy. If you do book a session with me, these days I get you to send me the dream ahead so that I actually have some time to look at it ahead of time. I did mention there that 90% of our shows have guests on them, probably a little bit more than that, maybe 95%. Occasionally we like to pop another one, an odd one in, where I give dream interpretation tips, more of a straight talk, because people do ask for that from time to time. But I enjoy the ones where we've got a guest on the show, best of all. Before we go to Ashley, just a reminder of the websites. JaneTeresa.com, that's Teresa without an H. That's where you can go to listen to every episode of The Dream Show that's ever been, all 246 episodes, which you can also, of course, listen to on all the usual platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, basically anywhere you go to listen to your podcast, we will probably be there. Search for The Dream Show with Jane Teresa Anderson. If you just search for The Dream Show, it takes a while to come up. And JaneTeresa.com is where you also go to read hundreds of blogs that I've written since 2009, when I started blogging, all on dreams and dreaming. It's also where you go if you want to contact me to book a consultation privately, or to buy my books, or buy my ebooks, or do my courses. And there's also my online learning platform where you can go to do those courses, and that's the Dream Academy, and the address there is dream-academy-online.com. When you do the courses, you do them in your own time, at your own pace, take as long as you wish, and you can go there and find out all about them. Or follow me on Instagram or Facebook. Let's get on with Ashley's dream. Welcome to The Dream Show, Ashley.
Hi, Jane Teresa. Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
Oh, we're loving to have you. And we're actually recording this on a holiday weekend for you, aren't we?
We are, yep. It's the 4th of July coming up here, so lots of fireworks and celebrations.
That's wonderful. And you're in Anchorage, Alaska, where it must be pretty hot at the moment, is it?
It's not too bad. We've actually kind of had a slow start to the summer up here, but a lot of sunshine. We're, I think, about 18 hours of sunshine a day here.
Oh, beautiful. Does that mean that you have to wait really late for the fireworks?
Yeah, you know, I don't really understand why we do fireworks in the summertime, because it never really gets dark enough, but tradition, so they stick with it.
It's a little bit the same here in Hobart at Christmas, because we have the long hours at Christmas, and you can't do anything with Christmas lights, so you switch Christmas lights on and you can't really see them. But, you know, hey, it's tradition. Anyway, yeah. We're here to talk about your dream, and as usual, I have absolutely no idea what dream you've brought. The only thing I do know is that you just mentioned to me when we were setting up that this is a dream from a few years ago. So if you could take it from there, that would be fantastic.
Sure, yeah. So I actually had this dream on the morning of my 32nd birthday. And my birthday is December 22nd, so it's right before Christmas time. And I was actually back home in New Jersey, where my entire family lives. I live here up in Alaska, but everyone else, I have five brothers and sisters and my parents, and they're all in New Jersey. So I was back home in my childhood bedroom when I had this dream. So I guess I'll just get started. And it's a pretty quick dream, but as I had mentioned, very impressionable.
Yes.
So I was in a open field full of snow, and it was actually currently snowing. It was very quiet, not a lot of snow, very silent and slow. It was falling. There wasn't really anything around. There were no woods, no trees. And I just started to walk. kind of in a straight line, maybe a little bit leaning to the right. And then all of a sudden, you know, I hadn't seen anything in front of me at all. But then out of nowhere, essentially, I looked up and there were two giant snowmen. They were probably 40 stories high, you know, the size of a big high-rise building.
Whoa.
They were two. They were standing kind of right next to each other, but not touching. They had, you know, the long sticks for arms, but they weren't really very jovial looking snowmen. They didn't have a scarf on or a carrot nose. They really just had the coal eyes and then three coal buttons. But then kind of most surprisingly, both of them were crying tears of blood. And it wasn't really a sad crying. It wasn't, there was no noise. It was more just like they were dripping tears of blood out of their eyes. And I remember looking up and seeing that, and I don't remember feeling fear or anything like that. It was more just, huh, that's really interesting and curious. And then I looked to my left, and probably 30 or 40 meters away, there was a really tiny log cabin. It had smoke coming out of the chimney. It was just a one-room looking cabin. So I kind of turned, and really throughout this whole dream, you know, it was definitely me in the dream. I was experiencing it. But for the entire time, from the start to the end, I also kind of felt like I was outside of myself and really viewing myself going through all these motions, if that makes sense. So mm-hmm. I looked to the left, I saw the log cabin, and I started to walk towards it. I didn't knock or anything. I kind of just opened the door and walked in. And when I did that, there were four women kind of standing in a semicircle. They had all black on. I couldn't really see their faces. It was more like I just knew that they were there. They weren't really interacting with each other. They weren't really interacting with me at all. And then kind of standing in between those four women was another woman. And she was dressed all in white, very flowy outfit. She had long blonde hair. And actually, my first thought when I saw her was that she reminded me of Stevie Nicks, if that gives you an idea.
Oh, yes.
Looks like. And she just had a very kind of a presence of being in control. It was, you know, her cabin. No words were said or anything. That's kind of just the feeling I got. And I walked up to her, and she touched me. I can't remember if she put my hands in her hands or if she put her hands on my face. But it was a very motherly, comforting interaction. But, you know, she made physical contact with me, and she looked me right in the eye, and she said, "You have a bad spirit following you around." And then I woke up. But even when she said that, it wasn't in a, like, it didn't sound like a warning. It didn't sound like she was trying to tell me something important. It really was more, she was just stating a fact. Mm-hmm. And when I woke up, I didn't fear any feel. I wasn't scared of anything. The entire experience from the beginning to the end was more one of just curiosity and like, wow, that's really, really interesting. And then I woke up and it was about 5 a.m. and it was my birthday morning. And I was like, yeah, that's an interesting way to start the day.
That's amazing. It's interesting the number of people I speak to that do have spectacular dreams on the eve of their birthday. I've just put that note out there. And I wonder, before we get into your dream, I wonder whether to some extent, you know, with the birthday coming up, we consciously or unconsciously review the past year, think about what's coming up, and sometimes have these kind of grand dreams prior. But that is absolutely fabulous. I have to say, we share a birthday. I'm also December the 22nd.
Oh, wonderful.
but a little bit older than you by a long way. right, so there's lots of things that I notice about this dream, but let's go through some of them. It's really interesting that you were, as you say, viewing yourself going through the motions in the dream. You were experiencing it, but you were also at the same time viewing yourself. Which would you say that was about equal, or were you more viewing yourself and being in the body that looked like you? What would have been the balance there?
I would say more viewing myself. All of my movements were like very deliberate, but also they felt like it wasn't me making them. I was more just a part of this situation. All my movements were very slow. You know, I slowly turned and looked at the cabin. I slowly was walking across the field. So felt a little bit outside of myself.
Mm. A kind of like a kind of blurred freeze frame kind of feeling with the slowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And can you remember how you felt about only executing moves in a slow and deliberate way? Was there any part of you that sort of felt, oh, I'd like to do this faster? Or was it like, wow, this is amazing, this slow movement? How did you feel about that slow movement?
Yeah, definitely more the second one. It felt very dreamlike, which is weird to say when you're in a dream. but that's the only thing I can think of to compare it to.
Yes.
Very at peace the whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. And yet you didn't actually know it was a dream while you were in it, did you, even though you had the objective onlooker thing?
No, I didn't, no.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to, before we go to the meat of the matter, because you've got the woman that looks like Stevie Nicks, we just want to go in and find out what she represents. So when you think about Stevie Nicks, let's begin with what three words you would choose to describe her personality or approach to life.
Probably ethereal, commanding, and peaceful.
Right, beautiful. And while you were in the dream, you know, I guess you've described a very ethereal experience that you had when you were going through the dream there. In many ways, you said it was dreamy.
Yeah, definitely. I think that would be a word I would describe the whole dream from the start to the very end.
And peaceful, despite the blood dripping at one point.
Yes, yeah, the whole time it felt very at peace. Like I said, when I was looking up, I wasn't scared of the fact that they were crying tears of blood. I wasn't scared when she told me I had a bad spirit following me around. It was just more, I was very curious about everything that was going on.
And in the third sense that you think of Stevie Nicks as commanding, where did you feel when you were going through the dream in terms of your sense of command of any situation?
For myself personally, no. I kind of just felt like I was along for the ride. I felt like I wasn't making any of the decisions in terms of walking towards the snowmen. They weren't there until I got to right in front of them. But even in terms of going to the log cabin, I didn't feel like I was making any of those decisions. I was kind of just along for the ride.
Yes, yeah.
And then in terms of her, yeah, like as soon as I walked into the log cabin, it was just very evident that she was the one in control there.
Yes, it's beautiful. Okay, so you know, we go through this looking at everyone and everything in the dream representing something about yourself or about the way that you look at life. And of course, when we're looking at any one dream, we're primarily looking at what was happening for you consciously and unconsciously the day or two before the dream. And then while your dreamy mind is processing that prior 1 to 2 days, it's also then extending back to similar experiences throughout your past and then ideally projecting forward into the future. So we've got a sense there that the whole dream, Ashley, had, as you say, had this feeling of slow, deliberate, at peace, following along rather than making the commanding decisions, being very interested, being very curious, being quite ethereal, and most definitely having one aspect of yourself that's looking on rather than being in the main experiencer role. So there's a sense in this dream of, on the one hand, possibly stepping back to view your life from a bit of a distance, get some objectivity, and on the other hand, possibly the dream showing you that there was a situation in your life at the time, or a personality trait of your own, where you tend to keep objective distance rather than get totally involved in the emotions, where you prefer to be curious, interested, and let life guide you rather than make commanding decisions at one level.
Although that sounds a lot like me. Yep.
Okay, that's great to know. So, and that's a beautiful way to live life. But it's also interesting to know that deep down in the woods, in the cabin, there's a part of you that's like Stevie Nicks that is all of those things, but is also commanding. So, you know,
it is interesting when you say that. I think of myself as kind of a dichotomy in a lot of ways, because I much prefer, you know, I don't like to have 5-10 year plans for my life. I kind of go with the flow. However, when I do make a decision, I am all in on that decision. I execute it until it's successful. So it's kind of almost like all or nothing when it comes to me with stuff like that.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I'm just going to put a little thing in here because I don't know anything about astrology, but I know that you and I share the same birthday. And people often say to me, being the 22nd of December as you are, you're on the cusp between Sagittarius and Capricorn. And people say to me, that explains why there's this Capricorn of yourself that can just follow through. Once you've made a decision, just go, yes, these are all the steps I need to take and I always succeed because I can do that, plod, plod, plod. And they say, the other side of yourself is a Sagittarius that goes, oh, let me, where can I, I think I'll stay, maybe I'll aim for the, that star over there. I'll have this grand, passionate plan. And people say, it's good that you've got, you know, you can actually go, maybe this, maybe that, but once you make the decision. So I'm just smiling at the same thing that you're saying there. But that's an aside from the dream work. So that dichotomy that you described there, are you comfortable with that, or does it sometimes frustrate you that it maybe takes some time to make a decision?
No, I think overall I'm very comfortable with it. I think I've kind of been that way my entire life. I've made a lot of decisions. Like, I was in the military, I decided I wanted to do that when I was 9 years old, and then I did it. And then when I was about 20, I was in a military college and I decided, you know, I'm going to do this, but I don't want to do it for my entire life. And I got out right at my 4-year mark. I had, you know, made that decision 5-6 years prior, but I still stuck with it. Mm-hmm. I made that decision when I moved to Alaska. I actually had just come up here to visit a friend, and I fell in love with it. And I was at a very transitional stage of my life. I had just gotten out of the military. I traveled for 2 months. I went to Europe. I spent some time on the West Coast, kind of just going with the flow. And then I made the decision, okay, I'm going to move to Alaska. And I did it. And now it's been almost 8 years.
That's
here.
Right. So the dichotomy is something that has definitely worked for you, rather than sort of have your whole life planned out. As you say, you go with the flow until something feels right, and then you go for it and make it happen. Yep. Which is wonderful.
Yep,
yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So back to the dream. You know, several things I noticed. One is that you mentioned at the beginning there were some directions you were walking along, and it was more or less a straight line, but you said but slightly to the right. And then, of course, later on, when you notice a cabin, it was to the left. So the dream was pointing out that this is right, this is left, or this is a little bit right, a little bit left. And sometimes in dreams, not always, but sometimes, looking to the right in the dream can sometimes relate to our left brain, because our left brain connects with the nerves to the right side of the body. And so that can, what's to the right in the dream can sometimes represent our more logical, rational, there's the world out there kind of situation, whereas when we turn to the left in the dream, which can sometimes represent our right brain, which is the more yin, the more receptive, emotional, spiritual, looking to the left can sometimes be looking into your inner self. And we've got that sense when we go to the left, and we'll explore it more deeply when we get there, that sense of meeting the Stevie Nicks type person and the four women. It's like, this is my inner world compared to my outer world, which is like these two giant snowmen that remind me of apartment buildings, because they're that tall. So we can kind of see that thing. And there may even be a sense of, even though those snowmen, the fact that you mentioned that they were, instead of giving a height for them, saying that they were like 40 stories high, so you likened them to two apartment buildings, gave them that kind of built, constructed outer world, left brain kind of thing. So one possibility amongst many is that those two snowmen may have represented something frozen in your outer world, maybe two built opportunities that you had frozen, or or were at peace with to some extent, because you described the snow as at peace, so they could have been difficult situations that you were somewhat at peace with, and yet at some level, you know, you hadn't dressed them with scarves or carrot noses. There wasn't a sense of I think you mentioned the word jovial. It wasn't a jovial situation, but there was some sadness there, even though you didn't feel the sadness, but you noted it with curiosity, the dripping blood. So it's almost like there was possibly two things that had happened in your built world or your outer world that you were reflecting upon in your dream, which you realized that you'd come to a sense of peace about. There had been sad, there had been dripping blood. You weren't at a position of feeling jovial about it, but you were marking the occasion and noting that you could be curious about it, interested in it, but noticing the emotion without getting right into it, and have a certain sense of peace because they were made of the snow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. I hadn't really thought too much about what was going on in my life at that time. But now that you kind of framed it that way, I had just made a job transition. And I was actually working both jobs up until the 1st of November. So about 2 months, I was doing both jobs. And with my new job, there was actually, I got hired in September, and then at the end of November, there was a big earthquake up here. It was a 7.1 earthquake. And as part of my job, I'm an emergency manager for the school district up here. We had substantial damage to several buildings. We're actually still rebuilding some of those, you know, almost 3 years later. But the recovery effort for that was very stressful. We were very lucky in terms of not having any serious injuries or anything like that. But we were out of school. We had our students out of school for a full week. And so, yeah, just trying to get the buildings back up to the standard and trying to get our kids back to school as quickly as possible. We had teams essentially working around the clock for a week to get that going. So not sure if that's related at all, but
it definitely sounds it, you know, because the I guess the sense of cool, you know, the cool, calm and collected that you had to have to get through that situation and to I guess push some of the emotions to one side to be able to direct the students, go through the evacuation procedures, whatever, all the things that you had to do, were drawing on that aspect of your character. And so that does fit the sense of the cold, snowy, but at peace sense that you had there. And maybe at some level, though, your dream saying, yes, but that was real blood, you know, just acknowledge what you actually went through there. Maybe in your personality and in your career, you could not succeed with that in your career. You could not succeed without taking a step back and maintaining your cool, calm and collect. And that's what you rely on. But somewhere deep down inside, there is also the blood to acknowledge symbolically the tiredness, the exhaustion, the emotion, the students and everybody else that you carry on your shoulders for that time. So that makes sense of the fact that you related the snowman to looking like apartment buildings. And so with the were there actually 40 story high buildings associated with what you've just described?
No, I think the tallest building we have here in Anchorage is 13 stories. So not a lot of high rises or anything like that.
So the higher level could have been the dream going for high drama, which our dream symbols do. Our dreams will often go, I want you to really notice this symbol. I'm going to make it really, really big. But also the fact that you estimated it at 40 stories does sort of put emphasis on the 40. Now, you were only 32 on that birthday, so that was some time off. And you've just told us you don't plan 5 years ahead, so we're not looking at where you're going to be when you're 40.
No. And the other interesting thing, I don't really put a lot of stock in my birthday. I never really have. I don't know if part of that is because it is so close to Christmas and kind of always a crazy time. People are running around. And And so, yeah, it was interesting that I had the dream that morning, because I did wake up and was like, huh, it's interesting that it would be today, just because I don't really think about my birthday that much.
It's interesting what you say, because just to add my experience to that, to sort of validate what you said, it was the same in our house. Like, my birthday was, oh, once we've got the birthday over, we can have Christmas. And I would have presents from my aunties and uncles at the time. This present is for both Christmas and birthday, because, you know, which said, so you want to open it on your birthday or Christmas? Because it's really just the same. So in our family, we tend to make a really big special effort, now that I'm grown up, to actually mark my birthdays. So I can relate to what you're saying, and to some extent, I wonder whether that's in the dream too, that there's that sense of, yeah, you understand that everybody's busy, there's other things happening, you put your birthday to one side, and yet there's maybe a little voice inside that says, but why can't I have a birthday like people that are born in July or June? You know, the child
it
from way back.
I feel like that was my own personal birthday present. A really interesting dream.
Yeah, and interesting from that perspective that it was snowmen too, because although they weren't jovial, it's either children that build snowmen or us when we're all excited and being childlike with the snow. So there may or may not be a bit of a thing there going about, well, you know, I would actually really quite like to celebrate my birthdays and have happy, jovial snowmen on my birthdays, but I'm stuck with these ones with coal eyes and coal buttons because it's just before Christmas, which again can be learning to, as a child with a birthday close to Christmas, can be learning to put your own feelings and emotions to one side and to just be cool and get on with things. So there may be a thing there. But also when a number comes up in a dream, in the sense that you wanted to mention it, the 40, sometimes it can be something about the 4. So again, our dreams can go for emphasis and make this 40 stories high. But if you cross off the 0, there may or may not be something about the 4. So it could be referring to 4 months ago, 4 years ago, something like that. And that's, unless something jumps to your mind now, that's something for you to explore later. Does anything jump to your mind at the moment?
No, not really.
So then we've got that sense that, going back to that part of the dream, so let's start at the beginning. And I don't always go through the dream in a logical order, but having sort of got some things into place, the beginning of the dream will often is really symbolically stating the situational issue that the rest of the dream goes on to explore. So we've got, because I was writing it down as you were speaking, we've got open, filled with snow, quiet, silent, slow, no woods, no trees, walking in a straight line but slightly to the right. So we've got that sense of everything that you've described at the time of the dream. I was feeling quiet, at peace, silent, maybe slow. And yet, in a sense, there was nothing ahead of you. You did say, I hadn't seen anything in front of me until suddenly you saw the two giant snowmen. So it sounded like a time in your life, which was one of those times, as you say, where I don't have a definite plan for the future ahead of me. I'm just going along. There's nothing definite in front of me, whether that's for, you know, the coming year, or whether it was because you were home for Christmas. There's nothing, it's just peaceful, it's quiet, I feel. And yet suddenly, whoa, there's these two snowmen facing you. So what a dream will often do, after first of all setting the scene, is introduce a question or a problem that the dream goes on to explore. So to rephrase that slightly, it's like, these are good things about me, Ashley. I'm pleased that I'm at peace, I'm quiet, I'm silent. I can get into this frame of mind. I can be passive for a while until I see something I really want, and then I can jump on it. I'm really good with all of that. But sometimes there are issues with that. And an example of that is these two giant snowmen. So one issue of all of this is that maybe sometimes I don't fully engage with my emotions or feelings. And that jumps me to the when we went into the log cabin, because I went in with you, you know, when we went in, when I was listening, you mentioned that the women weren't interacting and you couldn't.
Yeah, they were just kind of standing next to each other.
Yeah, but not interacting. And then when you saw the Stevie Nicks character, her difference was that she did interact. And also with the women that weren't interacting, you couldn't see their faces. So there was that sense of maybe, actually, a part of yourself that copes by not interacting with other people when you need that downtime, that stands mm-hmm. back. And sometimes you need the Stevie Nicks character to come in and go, right, okay, I'm interacting now, but I'm commanding. But the rest of the time, there's a part of yourself that is happier or not to not really interact.
Yeah, I'm nodding my head a lot. That sounds okay. Exactly like
me. Yeah. So at the time of your dream is presenting that as either a possible problem, like the situation you were in at the time may have required you to interact more, and your dream's going, what are we going to do about this? Mm-hmm. Or it's drawing your attention just more deeply to, you know, how you're structured. But then we come back, if we go back up the dream again, back to the tears of blood, the dripping tears of blood, no, not sad, you said, no, can't read the next bit I wrote, but dripping tears of blood, and you didn't feel fear. So it, mm-hmm. it's almost saying, and I imagine in the job that you've just mentioned, both the military and the evacuation and the safety job that you're in now, must all involve not getting overrun by your fear and just being able to go in mm-hmm. and do it, yeah?
Yep, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, and so there's that in the dream there, and yet showing the dripping tears of blood. So it's like inside you, you may not cry. Oh, I think that says no noise that I wrote. You may not yeah. cry noisily with sadness. You may not openly express how you're feeling or even perhaps acknowledge it, but you do notice the dripping. There's a slow yeah. flow. So the fact that the dripping was still continuing in the dream may mean that at the time of the dream 2 years ago, that there was still some sadness and you were coping with it by just letting it drip rather than really feeling it.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And it's lovely that you can come at that, as you say, with curiosity and interest, because a lot of other people in a similar situation would not have that curiosity and interest. They'd be going, no, I can cope with this. I don't feel that. I don't need to get involved with that. In fact, I've totally repressed it. And what are you saying? What's there to be fearful about? What's there to be sad about? But your mm-hmm. dream is showing that you actually do have a curiosity and interest in that side of yourself. It's more that mm-hmm. you know that you need to rely on that for your job.
Mm. And yeah, mm-hmm. I think that definitely makes sense. Even growing up, I had a hard time expressing myself. I definitely always did and still do go inward. But probably the last 15 years, I really started to take a lot of stock in being able, at least to myself, be able to understand and express my emotions in a way that makes sense.
That's perfect. That's really good to be able to do it on the inside when you need mm-hmm. to and acknowledge that. So it's really interesting that you said there, going back to childhood, that you had the same thing that you couldn't really express or feel or felt that you shouldn't show your feelings so much. Mm-hmm. And of course, you were back in your childhood home
yep.
at the time of the dream. In your childhood bedroom. So again, it's taken you back to that time. And there may or may not have been interactions or non-interactions with your family while you were there 2 years ago that fed mm-hmm. into the dream as well, that was saying, look, here's the resonance. These are the things that you experience as a child, which you sometimes still feel in your adult life until you step away and reflect and examine that on the inner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was super interesting when you said before, too, about maybe thinking about having to interact with people or with a lot of people. And I have a very large family, 5 brothers and sisters, a lot of cousins, aunts and uncles. We all grew up in my same hometown together. But now that I live in Alaska, pretty far removed from everyone, I'm kind of out of practice with being around so many people all the time.
Yes.
So it can be a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, that makes sense, doesn't it? So that really zooms in on why you would be dreaming about interacting or not interacting or what level of interaction. Yeah. And, you know, that may be another aspect of the two giant snowmen when you said in the dream, like suddenly there's these two giant snowmen in front of me. Like suddenly I've got all these brothers and sisters and cousins and people. I don't know how to interact with them. And maybe there's another level on the snowman there too. Maybe you interact with them by just freezing, like, oh, I'll just be a snowman. I might drip slow tears of blood, but I'm just sort of, I can get through this. And this is one of the things I love about exploring dreams, is that for any, you know, whether looking at the whole dream or the dynamics of the dream, the drama of the dream, the storyline of the dream, or a particular symbol in the dream, it's often you can unpack it at many different levels. So you can look at it physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally, and it can reflect different aspects of your life. But they're all energetically connected in the same way that we've just connected the snowman to several different possible angles, basically, of the same thing. It's interesting that, and I love, given what you've just said there, the fact that after you were looking at the snowman and you were being curious and interested, is when you then looked to the left and saw the log cabin, because that's exactly what you said. When I'm in that kind of situation, I will then often go within to process how I'm feeling and mm-hmm. look at that within myself rather than major interaction in the outer world. So that's what you do. And that log cabin was 30 to 40 meters away. So we've got that 40 repeating there, where you had the two giant snowmen were about 40 stories high. And now you've got 30 to 40, and you were waking up on your 32nd birthday, even though it wasn't a major deal for you. You still knew that you were going to be 32. So there could be a sense there, even though you don't plan way ahead, still coming back to a possibility of when you turn to the inner to look into that cabin, that inner self, you were looking at from age 30 to 40, what, you know, looking back 2 years and what you were kind of projecting ahead a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that. Moving up to Alaska with really no support network, it took me just about 5 years of living here to kind of feel like I finally had my feet underneath me. Mm-hmm. And that was right around that time when I had gotten that new job that I started to feel more stable, I guess.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. So the next part of the dream, what I wrote down when you were speaking it, and I loved your dream, it was so beautifully told too, as you put, but as well as experiencing it myself, I was viewing myself going through the motions. And sometimes when we hear ourselves describe a dream, or when we write it down and look back at our words in our journal afterwards, we can sometimes extract those words and say, I'm curious, I'm interested, do these apply in my life somewhere at the moment? So could there also have been a situation where you were just going through the motions in your life at that time?
I can't really recall at that point, just because there was so much new going on. I mean, I had just started that job, and then a few months later is when the earthquake happened. So I just had to very quickly adjust to, one, you know, the new coworkers and what everyone did in order to be successful in our recovery. And then two, just my normal day-to-day job outside of emergency situations. So I don't recall feeling like I was going through the motions at that time.
Yeah, that's okay. It was just a comment that may have been. Sometimes when we have to distance ourselves from the strengths of our emotions to be able to get through life, there may be that sense of going through the motions, but it wasn't what you were feeling, so that's fine. So we go into the... that's interesting. There were four women in black. We got that four again. So later on, I have a little think about how does that four relate to this dream? What happened 4 years ago, or 4 months, or whatever, 4 weeks? When you think of the number four itself, does it have any sort of meaning for you or ideas?
I mean, no, it doesn't really. Yeah, I'm having a hard time trying to think of what that could be connected to.
Yeah.
I guess, I mean, it would have been 4 months prior when I found out about my new job. And it was significant just because my previous job was a non-permanent position. I was funded through a grant program. So I really started to feel the stress of needing to find something else, because I wasn't going to have a job after October. And the job I did find and ended up being offered, like, I still can't believe that it all worked out the way that it did. Like, I was pinching myself for the whole first year. such a perfect fit and with the timing. And yeah, that would have been just about 4 months when I found out I got the job. So
that's definitely one possibility that four then, as you said, may relate to the stress that you had around that. And will I ever get a job? And then suddenly I've got these two snowmen. it can also something for you to explore later, maybe four separate things, because they're four separate women in the dream dressed in black, can't see their faces. So it could be four things that were kind of faceless or that you weren't facing, that, or even four deaths with the black, I don't know. But I think the main key in sense of the time that we've got together today is that the four women weren't interacting, and you and I have already seen the relationship of that to what was going on for you at the time of the dream, until you see the Stevie Nicks character. And so as well as what you've said about her ethereal, commanding and peaceful, you described her, as I wrote down, as flowing outfit, you said, didn't you?
Yep, and her hair too.
Ah, yes. So, and you've also said since then that, you know, your modus operandi is to flow, go with the flow until you see something you want to do and then go. So she could also represent that part of yourself that flows along. The fact that you so quickly came up with, you related her to Stevie Nicks as opposed to anyone else, have you got a particular passion for her music or one particular song, or where does she stand out for you in that kind of arena?
I love her for a lot of reasons. One, just a big fan of her music, but also just her as an artist and as a female navigating a world where, you know, she's the only female in the band. And I think now she gets a lot more credit. But even growing up listening to her, I almost kind of always thought she was not the center of attention all the time, which may just be a byproduct of being a female in the 70s in that rock and roll world. But she's someone that I just do have a lot of respect for. And the whole In the Cabin too, it did feel very witchy in a way. And in terms of famous people that you think of that kind of fit that mold, she's one that I would think of in that sense as well.
That's beautiful. So there's lots there, you know, and I think everyone would agree with you there about she was the power of the band, but she was only a woman to some extent. And so there's that to reflect on about yourself too. You know, how is your upbringing? How did your upbringing influence your sense of self as a female in a patriarchal society, maybe? And particularly because you noticed that when you were growing up, that's not an adult reflection of her music. You were attracted to her and what she was going through as you were growing up as well, because of all of that. And the witchy feeling, and what occurs to me there is that sense, we all understand what you mean, and witchy is kind of good, but the fact that why is witchy energy referred to as witchy? Is it because that feminine energy isn't acceptable? When we then jump to the bottom line of you've got a bad spirit following you around, I wonder whether one level of that is do you regard your as a woman some aspect of yourself judge yourself as being witchy, not as opposed to, well, I'm just actually a powerful female, whereas go back a few hundred years or maybe only a few years and powerful women have a negative assignment, they're witchy.
And I think I've always, I mean, I've even since I was very little, I don't know if rejected or kind of pushed against the norms of what a female should do and be like. And that's probably why I gravitated towards more male-dominated environments. But it was really probably halfway through my time in the military where I kind of had a transition where I, instead of trying to be quote-unquote like one of the guys, I really started to appreciate what I brought to the table as a female, and as a female navigating those worlds. And definitely now that I'm more removed from it, I think about that a lot.
Yes. Oh, I absolutely love everything you said there, and so will everybody listening. and I also love that you said there, I can't quite capture the words again, but you said, now that I'm more distanced from it, I can see that more clearly, something to that effect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in the dream, you've also got that distance. There's a part of yourself distance and looking on. So there's that curious, interesting eye in the dream that you've just also referenced. For the further away you get from a situation, in fact, the more clearly you can see it. People think, oh, the further away you get, you know, you sort of forget what it was like. But actually, you see it more clearly for what it actually is, was. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the one of the things, I'm going to ask you this question, but one of the things that stands out for me in your dream is that, from what you said about Stevie Nicks, is the idea that you said, and I do believe you're right, that she's regaining her feminine power and her fame now. is she completely there yet? We don't know. Does she lament the fact that she was witchy, regarded as witchy and lesser in the past? We don't know. But the fact that you brought her in means perhaps, and she told you that you have a bad spirit following you around, it is the suggestion that at the time of the dream, you were thinking, yeah, there's something Stevie Nicks-ish about me, that I may be judging on my inner world. I guess it's the dichotomy that you mentioned, that part of me is going, yes, I'm Stevie Nicks, I'm commanding, I'm ethereal, I'm peaceful, I've got it together, and I'm witchy in the good sense. And there's this other part judging yourself as well, but am I there yet? Like Stevie Nicks, are we there yet? Am I witchy? Am I powerful? Where am I? And how much does this relate to noticing that there are still some dripping tears of blood, etc.? I'm going to start wrapping because we try to keep the podcast under an hour. But my first question is there anything else in the dream that you want to explore that we haven't explored?
No, I don't think so. Maybe the bad spirit following me around a little bit, but
yeah, we'll go a little bit more into that. So I think it's the sense of maybe sometimes judging yourself. And remember, our dreams show not only our conscious beliefs and thoughts, but also introduce us to our unconscious beliefs and thoughts. And so there may be some unconscious judgment still that the bad spirit is the witchy part of yourself, or the part of yourself that judges yourself for being a woman, or not for being a woman, you know, but for having and otherwise the bad spirit. Let me just have a little more think about this. Does Stevie Nicks have a song about spirit?
I assume she does.
Yeah. It's just in the back of my mind. I can't pull it forward, but I think there's something. So have a little Google for that and see what the song is about, because your dreaming brain may have brought that up. But what I love about the end part is she is pointing out something to you. As you say, she's stating a fact. So once you find out something about yourself, you can decide whether that's not a bad spirit. That's actually a good thing. I like that. I'm keeping that on board. Yeah. Or, yeah, maybe that's something I don't want in my life. I can let that go. But the fact is that you've seen it in the dream and it's related to Stevie Nicks. So I would still come back to it's what the Stevie Nicks character taught you that we have just explored a little bit more, that you can then decide, is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? What is the fact of this and how do I feel about it?
Yeah, and I didn't feel surprised or nervous or anything like that. It was more just like, oh, okay, thanks for telling me.
Yeah, so that's still, it's your dream for you to decide the final, but to me it just keeps feeling like, yeah, something that I have judged as bad, it actually is not. It actually is okay to speak out and to do this and to do that. And but I also have this urge to tell you to Google spirit songs and see what she comes up with. What stands out for you most about what we've talked about today?
I guess I hadn't really thought too much about what was going on just in my life at that time. When I was thinking about, or even when I thought about this dream so much for the last 2 years, it was really more me thinking about the snowmen and the blood and the witches inside the cabin. And I just hadn't even considered all the changes that were going on in my life at that time. So yeah, it's been really enlightening to dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, how a symbol can be so overpowering that it stays with us more than anything and often begs us to explore it further and further. One way, it's probably too far past the dream now, because this is something, this is a tip for everybody listening, I guess. It's one thing you can do with an amazing symbol like that when you wake up in the morning or the next few days, is just to actually imagine yourself as that symbol. So if you kind of stood and closed your eyes and felt, this isn't dream alchemy, and felt yourself being one of those snowmen, and noting that you didn't have a carrot nose and noting that you didn't have a jovial scarf, and feeling that little blood trickle down your cheek, something might have occurred to you just from kind of embodying that symbol about what it represented. So that's something you can do. Like, I had a dream recently and a woman was doing something really strange and flexible with her left hand, and I was thinking, what is that? And it was really intriguing me, and I actually felt the movement in my body. And when I woke up in the morning, I thought it's like a yoga mudra or something. But when I actually did it, I realized it was all the violin exercises that I did as a child, where you did all these exercises with your finger. Hopeless at playing the violin, but I was really, really good at doing the finger exercises. And that thought then helped me to understand the whole dream. So embodying a symbol can help, and it might be a bit too far down the track for you to do that. If there was one kind of thing that you would like to take forward into your life now as a result of exploring that dream, what would it be?
I think kind of just own my power and the growth that I've made over the last 10 years, and not feeling shame about that growth, and just continuing to grow as a person.
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful. So on one level, you know how to do that because you can have a goal and you can go for it. And on the other hand, we can offer a dream alchemy to do that. So a dream alchemy is where you take an element of the dream that and you transform it or change it, or you enhance it so that you're changing, transforming, or enhancing the thing in the dream that you want to really bring into your life. So what strikes me is to... it's one of two possibilities. Let me just think about this. One is to trawl back through some Stevie Nicks songs and find a song that actually encapsulates what you've just said. And I don't know whether there is one. And if there is, play it nonstop, stand up, sing it, feel it, dance it, and have that as your kind of dream alchemy. And the other one would be to... to not dress up as Stevie Nicks, but to find yourself in a quiet space and close your eyes and imagine that you're dressed perhaps as she was in the dream, or perhaps as you've seen her in a recent video or something, and actually get her to talk about the changes that she's been through as you imagine them. So you could actually speak them out loud as Stevie, or you can listen with your quiet inner voice and see how she expresses what she has learned throughout her 7 decades of life, what she has learned about expressing herself and growing as a person and all the things that you've just said there. She literally found her voice, and just learn from her or put words in her mouth. And so in doing that, what I'm really suggesting to you is, we know there's a woman that reminds you of Stevie Nicks in your dream. So we know there's a part of yourself that reminds you of Stevie Nicks on your inner world. Let's bring her out. Let's shine her. Let's give her further personal growth in the same way that Stevie Nicks has had to go through that further personal growth to get to where she is, and maybe further. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I love that.
So enjoy doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing that fantastic dream to the Dream Show, and helping us to understand how it relates to your life as well. And I think this dream in particular, although it's your unique dream, a lot of people, and particularly women out there, will relate to some of the issues that it brings up, and will give them cause for curious and interesting reflection on their own lives as well. So thank you.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed my time with you today.
Thank you. I'm sure many of you are going to do exactly what I'm going to do when I finish this podcast and go and Google Stevie Nicks to find out if there's any spirit songs there. Probably a few of you are singing along to some of her songs that you've really enjoyed in the past. I hope you've enjoyed that. I know that you would have done. I know that a lot of you would have got a lot of resonance from some of the issues that came up there. And also, hopefully, picked up a lot of good tips about how to explore and interpret your own dreams. The next episode of The Dream Show, episode 247, comes out on the 9th of September 2021, if you're listening to this in real time. Between now and then, I know I'll be speaking with some of you who I work with privately. A reminder again of the website, janeteresa.com, Teresa without an H, and the online learning platform, The Dream Academy, dream-academy-online.com. And if you'd like to be a guest on The Dream Show, go to janeteresa.com, go to podcasts, go to the drop-down box on the menu, and you'll see a place to go. Put your name down if you want to volunteer to be a guest on the show. Have a wonderful month. Thank you for listening. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.